Game three tonight, right? We haven't reached that part where the NBA is taking like random 7 days off between games.
No, it's funny that you said it because they are, because I know that it's going to make you mad, but they're doing it so then all of the games will be on the same schedule. Because right now...
Lazy.
Well, no, it's because some of the games started later. Game three is not until Friday.
What?
See, I knew you'd get so mad.
Yeah, there's just one game tonight.
Stupid!
John, they got to get all the games
No,
back.
They don't.
They do. They want the games to all... Because then the conference finals to be out of whack.
Well, then you don't start the other series until the previous series are done.
But then you would have this insane delay in between it. So this allows them
to
have games.
It makes more sense to have a delay between series than it is to have
long
games.
This segment
is
not about bitching about the calendar. It's...
Again, the NBA, you're just dumb. Wow. Just stop it.
Wow. Yeah, put three Game 7s on a Sunday and then put the other Game 7 the following day.
There you go.
Doesn't make sense.
Anthony Edwards has been arguably the best player in the game in these playoffs.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
I say arguably.
Brunson's been awesome.
Jalen Brunson's been really, really good.
Yeah, he's putting him on his back.
But Edwards certainly has, the way he's done it.
The flair in which he's playing.
The flair, the way he's played.
The excitement, the attitude.
It's all right there. It's almost the total package.
Almost.
Except the fact that he plays for teeny, tiny little Minnesota.
Wow, why are you saying that? We're Midwestern boys. We
well,
should be rooting
I'm not,
for him.
I'm not saying
Who's
it.
Saying this?
Well, people in the lame stream.
Who said such a thing? Was this Stephen A?
Nope. This was Craig Carton.
Craig Carton?
Craig, don't put me on a milk carton.
From the fan? WFAN.
Well, he also does a show. It's also on FS1.
Okay. What did Craig
say? But he said recently, I feel bad for you people in Minnesota.
Whoa! You can't say you people about Midwesterners?
You seem like nice people. You seem like nice, good people.
Wow. But there's a huge but coming.
I see the future. You're going to lose Anthony Edwards.
Oh.
You're going to lose him. You're going to lose him like every Minnesota-type town loses its stars.
Wow.
At some point, he's going to wake up and go, unless he wins a title, of course, which is absolutely on the table right now.
Yeah.
But at some point, there's going to be an agent, and that agent's going to whisper in his ear, New York, New York, New York, LA, 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 LA. And that's what's going to happen. For you diehard basketball fans, you better enjoy it now. You better put your arms around it and embrace it. Give it a big, fat tongue kiss because he ain't going to be there forever. You tell me a great player that didn't leave Minnesota. Just tell me the last great player that didn't leave Minnesota. The answer is that they all do.
To be fair, well, I mean, you know, you can talk about any sport, right? He's not just talking about the Timberwolves. He's talking about every sport. Did Kirby Puckett finish his career in Minnesota?
Yep.
All right, so there you go. So he's won.
Not all of them.
Yeah. Kevin Garnett. You know, he is probably the best example of a Minnesota player that did not finish his career there.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Garnett wanted to stay there. He stayed there for a long time. He stayed there actually past the time that he should have left or forced to trade because he was very loyal to the Timberwolves organization, even as they continued to suck mm-hmm. around him.
Mm-hmm.
He did not leave because of market sizes. He left because they didn't put a good team around him over and over and over again. That said, I mean, like, that opinion in basketball, at the very least, isn't like an insane opinion to have,
no.
given the superstars that we have seen come into smaller markets, have success, and eventually leave.
And so my point isn't to mock Craig Carton for that take, but that is a very NBA-like take.
Sure.
It's also a very Major League Baseball-like take. Because in baseball, typically, a lot of the big stars leave the so-called smaller franchises. I know the Angels are in Los Angeles, but let's face it. They're like many tiers below.
Yeah, we don't view
the
them
Dodgers.
As a big market franchise.
We don't. We see a lot of the... If anybody's a big star in a smaller market, eventually they end up in the big market. Especially in the NBA. Maybe not as pronounced in Major League Baseball, but certainly in the NBA. It's hard for the LeBrons to stay in Cleveland their whole life.
Yeah, even though he comes back, he still left and went to Miami. And then he left again and went to Los Angeles.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And so my greater point is actually this. And it's this attitude about, you know, letting the big markets rule everything. And how I don't want that attitude to permeate college sports. And this kind of goes back to, you know, conference realignment and all of that nonsense. But this idea that the brands have to flourish at the expense of everybody else. Because what's the biggest story in the National Football League?
Biggest story? Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plays for the Chiefs. Small market.
In tiny, teeny, tiny baby Kansas City.
What was the, I'm not a TV ratings guy, what was like the biggest divisional round game ever? And it happened this past January.
Yeah.
It was Bills.
Bills and Chiefs.
Tiny market.
Tiny, teeny, tiny baby
versus
Buffalo.
Chiefs. Tiny market. Most watched divisional game of all time. All time.
One of the reasons why the NFL, I think, flourishes, and sure, it's football. We all love football.
It's football. That's number one, but then other reasons.
But stories like Green Bay, stories like Pittsburgh, stories like Kansas City are allowed to happen.
They're almost encouraged. The rules allow for it to happen.
The NFL does not need the New York Giants to be great.
Exactly. The Giants and Jets have stunk for the last decade combined.
Right.
And you know what? It doesn't matter.
The
Bears.
The second largest market went without pro football for two decades.
The
NFL was like, eh.
The Bears stink.
Don't worry.
The Bears stink. Chicago. The market of Chicago.
Bears still suck.
Yeah, see? He's going to remind you of it. That market is, and sucked in the NBA for a while too, but that market has been bad, and yet it ultimately doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And my worry is, as we, you know, move into whatever this new era of college sports is going to look like, it's going to be about the brands.
Sure.
It's going to be about the brands.
Yeah, where you lose market size in college football, even though there is like a team in Los Angeles, for example, you gain it in, we call them like Tiffany programs, Ohio State,
yeah.
Alabama,
right.
Notre Dame. You know, those places aren't, you know, population, super dense areas comparatively to like the NBA or something. But they are big time brands.
I think it helps the NFL. It helps those sports who don't just bow to the biggest brands. The brands are always going to... Alabama's always going to be Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have their ebbs and flows. Ohio State's always going to be Ohio State. There's going to be ebbs and flows. But it doesn't... But success of the entire sport doesn't have to hinge on just the biggest brands. It's okay if the Chiefs are really successful. It's okay if the Steelers are really successful or the Packers are really successful. In fact, it's almost something that enhances. It's a very inclusive community. And so my challenge for the people in college sports, if you got the brains or the balls, is don't just be so brand dominant, because if your sport is good enough, you can survive and be very inclusive and allow some of the smaller schools to at least have a chance. It's not saying that they have to be great, but it gives everybody that opportunity. Let's face it, this capitalist socialist society that the NFL has turned into has almost been a perfect union.
It's great for the fans, right? Because, I mean, you really can begin so many seasons dreaming big, because we have seen teams come out of nowhere and do it. You know, I think, honestly, your Rams in 99 is probably the best example of out-of-nowhere type success that we see in the sport.
And that was St. Louis.
Yeah, and great point. So it's a tiny market, and it's an out-of-nowhere success story. Like, we don't see that in other sports. I mean, what's been interesting about college football in the last couple of years is we have had like those surprises, maybe in the championship game, a TCU, Washington, maybe even Michigan winning it all, when we haven't had that for so long.
Right.
But, I mean, you're absolutely right. Like, one of the things that is so important for the NFL, and really professional sports too, is all the parts of the country do get to participate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Upper Northwest, they get to participate in the NFL and the NBA, and they're going to get an NBA franchise back again soon in Seattle. The true West Coast does. The Mountain Region does. You know, the Midwest does. The East Coast obviously does. College football... You know, one of the scary things about the potential future is West Coast football kind of disappearing. And I know that it's not like USC is going away. They're not going to move. They're not going to realign.
But the brand identity of West Coast football is going to be gone.
It's totally gone.
Do you really think, yes, it's going to be in L.A., but just the look, the feel, the touch, the smell of West Coast football will no longer exist.
It's done. It's dead.
It's over.
Whereas when you were growing up, when I was growing up, you turn on the TV, you see a Pac-10 or a Pac-12 game, and it's like, that's West Coast
football. That's West Coast football. And not every brand is going to be appealing to everybody, but I do like the diversity that the sport brings. And losing that, I think, is going to hurt. And at the same time, I think this attitude hurts the NBA. Now, the NBA is doing fine. Don't get me wrong. They're about to triple their revenues on TV, and they're doing fine. But I think in a lot of parts of the country, the reason why a lot of people don't absorb it is because
they don't feel like they have skin in the game.
They don't have any skin in the game.
Yeah.
You know, here in Nebraska, you know, the closest NBA franchise is Minnesota.
Yeah, but it's not like we're Minnesota. It doesn't feel like a Minnesota area, right?
No.
You know, it's fun, too. Like, when you consider right now, so you have Minnesota in the Western Finals. OKC, obviously a Midwestern school or a Midwestern franchise. You know, I always wonder, like, how do we describe Denver? More of a mountain, but, I mean, certainly Midwest adjacent. And then Dallas, while they're in Texas, like, I consider that more in a, you know, Midwestern than I do certainly, like, an East Coast. And it's like, wow, what interesting part now of America that's represented in the Western Finals. I mean, there's a very real world. The two teams that are up, a combined 3-0, are Minnesota and Oklahoma City. And that could be the conference finals in the Western Conference. And, like, as someone who has lived my entire life essentially here, I think that that's pretty cool. I think that that is like legitimately cool. But does it have staying power? You know, like
typically it doesn't.
I certainly think Jokic is going to finish his career in Denver, but like I would love it if this situation was able to buck the trend. I think that that would be absolutely awesome if it was able to buck the trend.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
All right. Still to come, we're going to explain what a fong bomb is.
Okay. Well, a fong bong. I don't think those are legal here,
fong
John.
Fong bong.
Okay.
It's totally legal, totally fine.
All right, perfect.
1620 The Zone.